At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello, everybody, and I am delighted to have back so soon our dear friend, Professor Hamamoto. And look at that hat. What a phenomenal hat. Much better than the, and more stylish and gentlemanly than the Courtney Burgess raccoon cap that was much talked about recently. Also, you know, in this episode, we're going to go over a lot of things through Hollywood, Nashville, the occult. But before we came live, I was mentioning to Professor Hamamoto about the tweets that Kanye West is putting out right now. I mean, I can't even repeat them. I'll euphemize and give you so he's got a picture of Adolfo in a bathtub doing the you know what salute. And the catchphrase that begins with H, H. And then he says, his next one is saying that a certain group of people, the people that were in opposition to Adolfo, let's say, those people threatened to take your kids away. That happened to me on the DEFCON tweet. You saw Harley say he was going to medicate me to Zombieland. This almost got me off my square. I had to take a deep breath. No alcohol this time around, though. So let me get this right. You want to take a black father out of his black kids' lives, but it's something wrong with me. And then he's retweeting a post from Stop Antisemitism, which says, we sincerely hope that Kim Kardashian is consulting with her attorney to seek sole custody of the minor children she shares with Kanye. But it's just expletive. N-word, accolades to the Adolfo with the HH saying, and more N-words. I love being an N-word and saying the word, the name of the guy, that, you know, HH, out loud. It's worth all the billions in the world. And then he's got Elon doing the salute, and he's saying, HH Elon, to all the broke-ass N-words trying to call me or my friends to tell what to say, you are broke. And have no power, especially no power over me. And then the next one says, my kid's school sucks. And then thank you, my brother Swizz, for connecting me with your close friend, the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman. And then any N-word, don't like Trump, is a bad word for gay people, let's say. Yeah, and on and on. I mean, it's just this absolute outpouring right now, Professor. What do you make of that?
My G, how are you?
Great.
it's great to be back. Great, by the way, homie. this is a genuine, my boy. This is a genuine Stetson, John B. Stetson. Americana 4X, which means 40% beaver. So this is what Lyndon Baines Johnson wore. This was the hat for which he was famous. And also the Texas Rangers we see in that photograph when Jack Rubenstein came up and shot Lee Harvey Oswald in the gut. This is the hat they was wearing. So I thought it'd be only appropriate for me to rock this hat today when we talk about occult Nashville. If your audience likes, we can go into Yay. We can talk about Harley Pasternak and his whole client list, him as a trainer. And that itself is a double entendre. He's a physical trainer. He's also a mind trainer, right? And we know who he works for. We can't say that because, you know, we'll be deplatformed. There have been country artists, not just people like Ye, but people like Naomi Judd, one of the most popular acts, if not the most popular pop and country act in the 90s, the Judds. Naomi and her her daughter, 18 years younger, Winona. Now, they're a product of country music, but they really made their bones in L.A. But she died a few years ago by pharmacide. She was supposedly mentally ill. It's so appropriate that you led this program off with Ye, because it looks like he's heading down the same road as, I call her, MK Naomi Judd, as an homage to MK Ultra. That was a sub program, MK Naomi. And inadvertently, she's talking about her whole relationship with Big Pharma. And she bought into it totally because she was an educated person. She was a registered nurse by profession, in addition to being a professional singer and entertainer. So it's quite a tragedy that she committed suicide not long ago. But this is all in keeping with the broader topic of today's conversation, which harkens back to the occult founding of the city of Nashville, because most people are still fixated on Hollywood. When they think about entertainment, they think about Los Angeles, the greater Los Angeles area. Cool, that's fine. But the real center of the entertainment business in the 21st century, like right now, is Nashville, Tennessee. That might be news to a lot of people, unless you are students of country music like I am. Right, I have my whole collection right at hand here. Not all of it, but some people like Johnny Horton, known for the Battle of New Orleans back in 1959 when I was a little child. We used to sing that. That was actually by Jimmy Driftwood. But he popularized all over the radio. Johnny Horton, he died a mysterious death, I think around age 34. And there's stories upon stories of all these characters who ran afoul of the hidden hand. So with your permission, I'd like to talk about today, at least partly, because we're only going to scratch the surface. And this talk is very important because I've never done this publicly. I've just been reading about it for years and years and years, studying the music, the popular culture, visiting this global power center called Nashville myself, and just being in awe of the whole scene, from its neoclassical architecture, its Freemasonic iconology everywhere you look, and its current status as party central for the United States of America. This is where all the virgins go for their engagement parties, their wedding parties. They're not really virgins, but far from it. But that's where the single women's go to party. And it's a huge recording scene. It has been that way since the 1950s, thanks to the Bradley brothers. There's a famous Quonset hut that they bought from U.S. Army surplus. They put it back at their house, and they converted it into a studio. And that was the beginnings of Music Row in Nashville. And all the current music that we're seeing that Beyoncé and Jay-Z try to capitalize on, and there's a meaning in that, is part of this larger capture, full capture of Music City, USA, which Nashville is known as, right? So it's a coming together here. It's a ritualistic coming together. And Nashville is a very black city. It's a black town. Country music is a black form. It's also a very Asian form, Pacific Asian form. Steel guitar comes from Hawaii. A lot of Southerners did military time in the Navy, in the Army, in the Marines, in the Philippines when the U.S. got its first overseas colony. And a lot of that came into the music, the instrumentation, the themes, the content. A lot of them were stationed in Hawaii, which was a colony before it became a U.S. state. And that's where they got the interest in the Asian Pacific peoples and Hawaiian music, and it entered into whole national. So there's all these different layers that compose this metaphysic that we call country music. Now it's in the process of debasement over the last several years by something called bro country. Bro is a brother. And these two the guys, they're all hat and no horse. And they sing about beer and their trucks and partying on Saturday night in their boots. And that's really the music of Broadway. That's where all the wedding party people go to celebrate. And they're all drunk. This is the tourist part of Nashville. But then there's the bedrock solid part where all these great musicians from all over the country, now all over the world, go there to record this fantastic music. And it was that mojo that Jay-Z and his handlers were trying to capitalize on and put a crown on, figuratively and literally, a crown of Athena on one, the Black Athena, Beyoncé Knowles. So, in order to begin, I would refer, and you can get this article online. It's by a gentleman by the name of William Henry. I do not know him personally. And it was published way back in 2008 online. And it's incredible. It's good. I've read a lot of this in other places, but he manages to distill this. It's called, the article's called The City of Secrets, Nashville's Temple Code Unveiled. And that's his hometown. He's an insider. And he talks about how the city of Nashville ranks along the other great cities, including Paris and obviously Washington, D.C., which most of your well-schooled audience knows is a center of Illuminati Freemasonic iconology. It's all laid out in those terms. Well, Nashville is a replication of that in this axis, this power axis. And their god is Athena. And that is Beyoncé, right? That's the ritualistic connection that we saw, the capstone being placed with Jay-Z just being sort of the middleman. He's kind of brokering it. Now, we have to find out, we have to figure out who's behind Jay-Z. That's the big question. Is he the top dog or is he just a tool? Well, I would say, I'm just guessing here, because speculation and hypothetical arguments are okay. We have to go back and try to fill in the empirical evidence, but we can speculate freely here. But this, Mr. Atwood, is where your part of the connection comes in. The Knights Templar, Scottish Rite, Freemasonry, those people helped from your part of the world, your country, right? The Grand Lodge, man, Scotland. They settled America. Those are the OGs. They set it up. They built the neoclassical architecture of Nashville, which we're talking about specifically here. And the statues and the great mall there that's designed and built along astrological science that goes back to the pre-Christian era. It's pagan and otherwise. And he cites, this author here cites such books as Talisman, subtitled Sacred Cities, Secret Faith. And it's by Graham Hancock, as most of your audience would know him as a top flight independent archaeo scholar, I guess, and Robert Bovell, who's, I think, a trained archaeologist. And they talk about how cities like Perry and D.C. are monumental encodings of hermetic wisdom, hermetic knowledge. This is the true government of the world, of these great cities and of the United States of America. With all respects to Donald J. Trump and all the great work he's doing as of the past couple of weeks, that's just sort of ceremonial, really. But the real shot callers are the ones who have this underlying power. And this is not news to most of your viewers here. This goes back to colonial days of America, I'm talking about. And it's been exported all over the world, right? Including Asia, the yellow world. The first Freemasonic republic on earth was not in the U.S. It was in Asia. It's called the Philippines, the Republic of the Philippines. It was founded by a bunch of Freemasons who were taken from the Philippines and brought to España, the home country, Spain, and they were trained, and the whole country was set up to serve that larger power. There's two poles there. It's a related story, Roman Catholicism and the Freemasonic. But let me give you some specifics here. And this is probably the weakness of the essay, and some of your listeners might not like it. But this particular author draws heavily from Zachariah Sitchin's work, right? And these days, so don't get it twisted, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of self-proclaimed experts on Anunnaki, and they're talking about Enki and Enlil, and all this stuff has just glutted the zone here. It's flooded the zone, the YouTube zone. So he's picked up some of this, but that doesn't mean that his analysis at bottom is accurate, because he points to the material culture. He points to the statue of Hermes, or Hermes, if you will, that's atop the Union Station Hotel in Nashville. And I've been there. When I first touched down in Nashville, I was living in the city center, and one of the first buildings I saw was the Freemasonic headquarters. I think it's on 7th Street. And I go to downtown. It's also the Nat State Capitol. And I saw these neoclassical buildings, and I go, wow. I'm sure glad I came. I knew I had to go to Nashville. I had to check it out for myself. Primarily, I was there for the music. I wanted to go to all the honky-tonks, avoid all the sorority and the fraternity boys, you know, those clubs, go to the real honky-tonk places. And I just happened to be there at the midst of what's called the Americana Music Festival. And that's kind of reaction to the commercial part of Nashville music and the slick bro country that's going on. It's more a combination of folk music of all different groups, by the way, including native peoples, and a lot of country and pop elements. I think the festival runs for about 3 or 4 days in different. So that was just a bonus. And then at the other extreme, the touristic Disneyland extreme, I went to the Grand Ole Opry. There's a new one, or newer one. The original one is the Ryman Auditorium, as most people know. But this other one, you have to take a bus or private transportation out to the sort of amusement park area. They have you kind of captive there. And they have the auditorium there. I don't know what the capacity is. It's huge. Say it's probably 1,000 people or so. And it's an old-fashioned stage act, such as used to be common throughout America before the age of radio and television and now the internet. It's still modeled after. These acts go on for about, they play one or two numbers, and that's it. And the host of the MC, the Master of Ceremonies, that's what MC stands for the younger viewers here, Master of Ceremonies, was none other than Little Jimmy Dickens. He's gone now. He's with Jesus, but he was still there as the MC. He's a little guy. He played a big giant Gibson jumbo guitar, which dwarfed him. He's a great musician in his own right, which people don't really recognize because I've studied his music. And so I got the extremes. I got the metaphysical, the occult, the crypto part of Nashville, as well as the more touristic. Of course, I had to visit the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum. I recommend that. That has to be on your list. And part of that tour is the RCA Studios, Radio Corporation of America. That's what it stands for. And here's where we move into the electronic media, and we draw the connection between 1920s electrification of the United States of America through the Tennessee Valley Authority, the damming up of the great rivers, and the rural electrification and communication grid that eventually led us here to streaming from all over the world. This is where it started, Nashville, RCA Radio. And RCA is connected, it's integral to the GE government within the government, General Electric. And General Electric is one of the largest military contractors. I wonder if that's going to come out when Doge goes in to audit the U.S. military, the Pentagon. We're going to see if GE and RCA are going to be outed as getting all this money free from the American taxpayer for its own mental enslavement, all right? But I want to tell the people here that that enslavement is limited because we have people like Tibby Edwards, the great Carl Smith, Webb Pierce, all the George Jones, all these country boys who created great art in spite of this huge infrastructure that was put in place to bring the country together under one central government and one central ideology. Call it Americanism, whatever it is. And that's the battle that's being waged right now. And that's how I understand when Jay-Z and Beyonce bum-rushed the Grammys. This is what's going on. It's a metaphysical battle. But the problem with so-called independent media and all these experts on Enki and Anunnaki and so-called Tavistock and all the usual Hollywood direct that you see flooding YouTube is that they're missing the larger point because people don't take these country people seriously. They think it's just the hat. The host, it's a dog and pony show. It is that, but what's really feeding the pony there? And there's another dimension which I'm beginning to study, and it most likely does intersect with the occult, and that's the body of organized crime that's known as the Dixie Mafia.
Clinton.
We know about the Jewish Mafia. Did you have any Packer Woods in your residence when you were doing your time? Did you have a lot of Southern boys?
That was the nickname. So in Arizona prison, white guys, they don't say mate, like they say, hey, mate, like they do in the UK. They say, hey, Wood. What's up, Wood?
Right. A lot of them are from Wood, the South, short, right? Short for
Wood, short for Packerwood, yeah.
Right. And a lot of them were from the South, okay?
Yeah.
So you just like the, Mara Salvatrucha, which, by the way, has infiltrated Nashville as well as Trinde Agua. They have the Latino gangs now moving in to take over from the black gangs. Just like the black gangs, you know this from firsthand experience, had their own, little rivalries, their gangs. And you had the Latinos, and you even had some of the Asian gangs. Well, the Woods had their own setup going, and this has been in play for decades and decades, and they're very much integral to the music business, but people don't talk about them as they do with the gang warfare in the rap and the hip-hop business, right? That's taking all the oxygen out of the room there, the rap and the hip-hop. It's the black gang, or maybe sometimes Latino, but mostly black gangsters are doing it. And it's true, but I think the biggest, the larger and the more important one, politically at least, is this alignment with these metaphysical occultic traditions based on these long-distance overseas organizations, Knights Templar, and there are all these commanderies, they're called, in Tennessee specifically. That's the state of where Nashville, Memphis, Knoxville. Knoxville is also the home of where a lot of radiation, nuclear experimentation. It was very close to Alabama where all the paperclip Nazis were, right? And they brought in a lot of Asians, by the way, for what I call the rice paperclip. The paperclip with the Germans that they took down to Alabama, the neighboring state. And then they brought in Asians from Taiwan and put them in a place like Knoxville and also to work at the Tennessee Valley Authority to electrify and to nuclearize the United States and the world. So to finance this, they got to have a pass-through industry, and that's where Music Row comes in. This is where RCA comes in. They're the ones that tied together the whole United States of America, continental U.S., through radio, the very first mass medium. That's where the Grand Ole Opry started to broadcast regionally, and the signal was so powerful, sometimes it even hit parts of the Southwest. And that's where you have the formation of this national culture. But again, and it's a lot to cover here, but again, let me stress the fact that this is all tied together. And there's really good illustrations here. Through the neoclassical architecture, there's the Parthenon in Nashville. It's a duplicate of Athena's temple, the original one, right? And there's the holy rod of power, Athena. And Hollywood, that's also a sacred stick, right? Aaron's rod. It's a magic rod. It's a spear. It's like the spear of destiny, sort of. So all this iconology is very much connected between places like Hollywood, Washington, D.C., and Nashville, Tennessee. It's alchemy. And there's this is the largest indoor statue in America is in Nashville. And guess what? It's 41 feet high, and it's of the goddess Athena. And that's what I think that Beyoncé was trying to enact or channel or to formalize her relationship and her handlers' relationship to the goddess Athena. And it so happened that a number of years ago, there was a scholar at Cornell University. His name was Martin Burnell, and he was British by nationality. I don't know if he ever became a nationalized citizen, but he was originally from Britain. And he was what they used to call Orientalist. He studied East Asian culture, but he also started to range into Greek, Roman, and Egyptian culture. And he's the guy, Martin Burnell, professor, in academia at least, who was saying that, hey, what we're looking at is a Greco-Roman civilization is really Egyptian. It's really African. And so the Black nationalists, people like Kendrick Lamar and that whole thing, he's very well read. He's like Tupac Shakur. He was trained early on in all these mystery schools, right? And they said, no, Greco-Roman foundations is Black Africa. And this is the claim that they are staking, and that includes Jay-Z. And that's the claim to power. That's the claim to rule. That's holding the divine staff, the rod, the spear of destiny. So you have all these different layers going on. I didn't get a chance to see the performance at the Grammys of Kendrick Lamar, but I saw some critiques of it. I don't think the Grammys allowed it to be put up on TubeU, but I'm going to find it because now I'm really interested in picking apart what Kendrick Lamar is all about. I'm happy on one hand he's bringing back prominence to West Coast rap. He's from the city of Compton, right? And with Compton, I associate NWA, right? That whole renaissance there. So he's holding it down for the locals here. Now he lives in Brentwood. He lives in Calabasas, where all the other rich folk live, but he still has connections there. In the city or two over, you have people like Snoop Dogg, who's a multimillionaire, from the LBC, Long Beach City. And this is only 25 miles away from Pacific Palisades. It's in the Los Angeles Basin. And it's a world apart, but they're linked together in this tension, this power tension, and this war, low-intensity war between three rival civilizational, and they're all cousins, by the way. This is how I break it down in the most simple terms. There's this low-intensity warfare that's being waged through culture wars, such as through rap, hip-hop, country, and the pop music. And they all come from Ibrahim or Abraham, the Abrahamic religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, three, that they're all related by Abraham, right? So the handlers at the world systems level said, well, in order to keep control of the entire world, we're going to create friction and conflict between the three Abrahamic cousins. So we're going to create tension between blacks and Jews, for example. This happened in the 60s and the 70s. There was a falling out, and there's still some tension going on there. And then you have the wars in the Middle East, right, via our client states in the area. I don't have to name them, but they're the same people who work with people like Harley Pasternak, if that gives anybody a clue. And Ye is spot on. You don't have to speak in code. I know who he's talking about. These are the same people who are putting the knife historically in different groups while they are behind the scenes running a scam. And currently they're putting the knife in the hands of the Chinese. They say, oh yeah, the Chi-coms are behind the theft of all AI, open eye to deep seek, right? You know, the sneaky Asians, Suchir Balaji, the Indians, right? So, and of course, the people at the top, they're not Asian, all right? I want to say this publicly, that at least there's one Oriental out here who's not buying the story, because we've been scapegoated time and time again for these larger problems between the three main branches of Abraham, right? And right now it's against China. I don't know if you're seeing this in the UK as well, but there's a lot of rhetoric that's pointing the finger there. And I'm not saying that they're our friends, but they are not the enemies of human civilization. And toward that end, by the way, in order to break the barricade that's been imposed by people who run Sony Records or RCA Records, the Tommy Mottolas of the world, who's kind of low level, but it was Michael Jackson who referred to him as evil, evil, evil. He was married to Mariah Carey and kept her in virtual slavery, right? In order to do this, I'm going to found my own recording, entertainment, and media combine. It's going to be called Chi-Com Records, right? Or Yellow Record. I'm not really sure. Because the Prime Minister of Japan just met with Donald Trump. He said, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to invest $1 trillion to America. I like where it's going. I'd like President Donald Trump. So I'm going to say, hey, some of that $1 trillion should be going to our community, the yellow community, so that we can develop our own arts that we have been excluded from by the people who live in Pacific Palisades. Even they got screwed over eventually. Their property was stolen. But that happened to my people during World War II. That happened to the Chinese in the late 19th century. They was dispossessed. So that what that tells me is that the ruling elite, the people who are worshipers of these occult systems, race and ethnicity doesn't, or nationality for sure, does not matter. They're at war with all of them. So my hopes is that I take a little part of that $1 trillion that Japan will be investing in the U.S. economy and bust some of that off and start subsidizing artists who will be able to communicate these somewhat difficult ideas and concepts and observations that I'm presenting to the American and the world and the international public right here and right now. Does that sound like a good business plan?
Well, Professor, thank you for opening with that. And we have got congratulations on getting over 50,000 subscribers. I'm going to put the channel link.
I owe that to you.
Put the channel link there. Let's keep it going. Let's get you up to 100,000. And we're 35 minutes in already with your opening statement.
Sorry.
We've got, you know, you're fine. We've got 25 minutes left before we've got a pre-record with Jaguar Wright coming up.
Oh, that'll be a good one.
But yeah, you so far, I think you've said it's phenomenal. So I'll just sit back, keep going.
Okay. Now this includes the great American working class that migrated to places like Compton, Downey, in early television when it finally came to Los Angeles area. We're talking about the 1950s. Some of the earliest live shows were music that featured country artists. So Los Angeles, outside of Nashville, had a very lively country music scene in the 1950s through the 1960s. And now it's kind of known worldwide as the Bakersfield sound. I mean, it was larger than, you know, Buck Owens and the Buckaroos, Merle Haggard, people like that. But it's much larger than that. But the point is, there was a huge out-migration from the South to Los Angeles to work in the burgeoning post-war industries related to defense, the aerospace, aeronautics, all these factory jobs. And it just brought in all this incredible. And that's where also large numbers of the forebears of Kendrick Lamar come from. They come from the South, and they migrated to L.A., and they moved into these different communities. This is the same with my people. They migrated from the Pacific Islands to L.A. to become part of this renaissance, right? And the reason I mention that is because we are poised to enter a second golden age that we haven't seen since the 1950s. But it's going to be different because now it has this universal access to technologies that can be enslaving, but they can also be liberating. So the points that I'm trying to bring up here is intended to help the upcoming generation, the future country stars, music stars, rap, hip-hop, whoever, yellow rap, yellow hip hop, whatever music that the young people are right in the process of creating now, their own movies, to say this is the history that you are inheriting and you're going to have to take it forward, and you're not going to be crippled and hobbled by these earlier systems because you have the most important defense of all, and that's knowledge, right? This is what, and I'm saying, again, repeating, or kind of stressing the contributions of Kendrick Lamar, because that is a award and that is a person who is fully deserving of recognition at his level. He did win a Grammy Award, right? Best Rap Album. Not many people are focusing on that. They're putting all the attention on Jay-Z and Beyonce. It should be on Kendrick Lamar. He's under 40 years old. His message is very important for making America great again. Kendrick Lamar, I'm talking about, right? Now, that's not all cut and dried as that, because from what I read, and I'll have to look more into it, he was also he was in public support of so-called Black Lives Matter. And I think what we're going to find with this USAID, the United States Agency for International Development, that's what it stands for, by the way, which I found out about in 1972, by the way, through a film called State of Siege by Costa Gavra. I said, oh, this is how America works. This is back in 1972, ladies and gentlemen. I was in college, and I pretty much had figured it out by that time. They're going to find that USAID funded BLM and Antifa, so-called Antifa, and all these AstroTurf organization. They sound grassroots, but it's AstroTurf. And that's the end of them. Right. So Kendrick Lamar is going to have to drop that allegiance, the blind allegiance to BLM. And he's also going to have to drop the blind allegiance that he has to Barack Hussein Obama. because he publicly supported him for candidate. So I don't care how wise and perceptive you are, as in Kendrick Lamar, his flow, his lyrics, his content, his music, his production skills, his performance, all of it. He's a total package. We all have our blind spots, and one of them is he bought the ticket on Obama. He got buffaloed on that. That's cool. He's only human. Plus, he wants to get over mainstream. Unless you pledge allegiance to so-called Kamala Harris or these other pretenders, Obama, we all know about his weird backstory. Unless you pledge allegiance, you're not going nowhere. So I see some incredible output, creative output, political output from a Kendrick Lamar in the future. So again, what I'm telling you this is because it's not all negativity. The Grammys, don't give up on quote unquote Hollywood. Don't give up on Nashville. It's not coming to an end, right? Death is part of the birth process. We're going through the death throes right now, but out of it will be a rebirth, encapsulated in the slogan, "Make America Great Again." Comments? Debbie Zapina, how you doing?
Earlier on, you mentioned about Beyonce and Jay-Z trying to steal the show, but didn't they get gazumped by Kanye on the red carpet with Bianca?
I think that was part of his strategy, you know. That could be read on many. I don't know if he actually got kicked out or not. I'm reading conflicting reports, but they probably showed him the door politely. I think this is my interpretation. My feeling was that, and this is not fair to Bianca, his so-called wife. I think he was saying, "Hey, listen, you know, the Grammys is about just it's a flesh trade. It's a slave market. You know, here it is. Here, you want to see naked flesh? You want to see naked body? Raw talent, so to speak. Double entendre intended. Here it is. Take off the fur coat." And they took him. I say, Kanye, you've taken it one step too far. And now, according to you, I'm going to look at the tweets. He's gone on the counteroffensive. Yay.
Piers Morgan is presently calling for Elon to suspend Kanye's tweeting. He's saying that he's inciting hatred and violence against certain groups of people.
Well, that man needs to be deported. There's no reason why he should have a presence on American media. Right? Same with Anna Wintour. Anna Wintour, who runs Vogue magazine and Condé Nast magazine. Right? That's Americana. What are these agents, these intelligence, not agents, assets, let's say. What are they doing in American media? I want to see all the receipts on USID and the connection to this character, this ass clown. He does not have the right to speak to any issues concerning ethics or morality. The reason why he had to leave Britain is because he was involved in a spying scandal himself with his own newspaper. Am I right? Mr. Atwood, am I right about that?
Absolutely, you are right. So Rain Marie's got a question. What do you think of Bianca and how she dresses?
Wow, I think she's a tool herself, and it's not up to me to advise anybody, but that's not a situation that I'd want to be into, right? It's a she's treading on thin ice there. And she's being used, whether it's by Ye or by other forces, I don't know. But it certainly sends a strong signal to the establishment of the Grammy. It was the one-fingered peace sign that Ye was giving. Isn't that one of the Smith kids?
Yeah, so your next question is from Tashelle. What's up with Jaden and the castle hat? Because this is the other talk of the Grammys.
Well, it reminds me of that famed photograph of some sort of Rothschild party where they're wearing deer heads and antlers and have the Venetian masks on.
Eyes this Wide Shut.
Pardon me? Yeah, yeah. Like, well, that's like the movie. But that's the movie version of it, but they have these little costume balls, private balls, where they have these activities. And perhaps this poor child, well, I don't know if he's an adult or not, perhaps him and his siblings were donated to this cult, and they're beginning to show signs of acting out their early childhood indoctrination.
Yeah, good observation.
The House of Horrors, yeah.
Question from Benjamin. How about Irv Gotti, producer of DMX, dead at 54? Anything suspect there?
Wow. I think he was asking for it by appropriating John Gotti's name right there. That's not very respectful. Yeah. So beyond that, I don't know. I don't know the specifics of it. Anybody who dies at 54, to me, at my age, that's young. He went before his time.
Sim 1 wants to know, were the Freemasons a rebrand of the Knights Templar after they went underground?
They were hidden in plain sight all through the American South and all over the United States of America. The state of Ohio in the United States of America has the largest number. I think they have something like 160 just separate commanderies, they're called. But they're all over the state of Tennessee, all over. And my guess is that if you want a judgeship, you want to be the marshal of your county or the chief of police or the district attorney, you have to be connected in some way to that. And same with all the attorneys and all the deal makers. And by extension, of course, they're controlling the music industry. So when we talk about the power behind the throne of Jay-Z and the Beyoncé, I think that's where we have to look.
Does the professor rap in my free time?
Do I rap in my free time only against the slime? How's that? I like to freestyle. I used to go to these academic conferences and we go on a panel and we just throw down at each other. We just go back and forth and knock each other down. So I had a lot of practice on that. But yeah, that's my mentality too. I'm very much schooled in conflict, let's say. I understand it. I think it's been overplayed. I think there are a lot of sitchin heads out there who don't know what they're talking about. And but I'll leave it at that, because it's like the people who believe that Paul is dead. You know, there's all this in the flat earthers. They're all over the place. But I think they're put in there to flood the zone so that substantive arguments like we're offering here today get drowned out, right? Because it's, you know, it's fascinating. I read it. It's highly interesting. I like to read about Atlantis. You know, this author here talks about the war between Atlantis and some other world civilization and how it's played out in the city of Nashville. And regardless of whether you or me or anybody believes it, those guys who are living this and have built this monument in the city and created an art around it called country music, they believe it. And they're proceeding along these lines that everything that they've been handed through the mystery schools, all this indoctrination they got through the so-called secret societies, that's their world and they're going to operate on it. Just like the physicists who develop nuclear weapons, that is their knowledge base and they worked it to its logical conclusion, auto-destruction. What I think about
Johnny Cash and his role.
He is a legend, of course. You know, man, what I will say specifically is that I really appreciate that the producer, Rick Rubin, went out of his way to allow Johnny Cash to provide his last will and musical testament in the American Songs series. I have every single CD where it's just him and the microphone. There's some studio guys in there, but it's mostly Johnny Cash right before he's about to join Jesus singing his songs. And I also like Johnny Cash's full recording of the Holy Bible. That is incredible.
Didn't he perform in San Quentin?
He did, which is not far from where I am. He had a connection to the judicial system, just like you did. Same with Merle Haggard. That's part of like the the rite of passage for the country musicians, right?
Yeah, we like really, really powerful watching him perform in San Quentin, a really powerful video.
Oh,
so Angelique is saying, "Do you make any connection between music frequency and mind control?"
Absolutely, it's all about frequencies. The good news, however, is that there is a growing body of people who are working to negate the type of harmful frequencies we are being exposed to day to day. And you'll be hearing more about this probably on my show about the healthful effects of certain frequencies. But that's music, isn't it? That's speech. That's human communication.
You've got a super fan in Bailey who wants you to be her adopted grandpa.
All right. Does it involve any money? if so, count me out.
Does country music have the same problems as Hollywood, so to speak?
Yes, they're very similar. There's, as I explained, they're related metaphysically. There's a straight line that connects the two worlds. By the way, many of the studio musicians that used to be in L.A., Hollywood, so to speak, most of them, or a lot of them, have moved to Nashville. That's where all the session work is, right? So again, we have to break the fixation on Hollywood, L.A., L.A. I know that it's the business, film business and all that, but Nashville is where it's at. That's the control center. I'm telling you.
What about the fusion of country music and European EDM by Avicii? Hey, brother, like that one.
I'm not familiar with that tune. Who's Avicii? Is he like Giorgio Moroder?
So Avicii was a young man who shot to superstardom as an international electronic dance music DJ out of Europe. And he became creative and he fused country music into his EDM. And when he first played it, everybody stopped dancing and booing him.
Mm-hmm.
But within months, his songs just completely took over the world. And he became massively successful. He was touring nonstop. And then he unalived himself at a very young age, I think in Dubai or one of those countries out that way. There's a fantastic documentary about him on Netflix that's worth a watch because he's so humble and shy and he's got anxiety and depression and he just makes it into the big time, but he's not got that ego. Mm-hmm. And you can see how it's crushing him because the pressure, and he starts to look like how Justin Bieber looks now. He goes through various phases of looking malnourished and falling back on alcohol and stuff. Really interesting. All right, I'll move on from that one then.
I'll check that one out. I'll check that documentary out. Was he active, by the way, in the rave scene while you were there?
No, this is more recent. You will be familiar with the artist, the country artist that he resurrects because They say when this kid approaches them, and they've no idea who he is to do these collaborations. One of them, his kid says, "Avicii, you need to do it, Dad. You need to do it." He says he agrees to do it, and he's not expecting anything to come of it.
Uh-huh.
And then it just completely changes his life because he's touring. This guy's touring all over the world again with Avicii, and
I will check it out.
Yeah. All right. So, JC, do you think Kanye has been under MK Ultra and this is why there are sporadic distractions from him? If not, is it something else? And if so, what?
Well, he's under some sort of program. I think it's probably MK Naomi, like Naomi Judd. Powerful SSRIs involved. Lithium, perhaps. I'm just guessing here. He's just from afar, he looks like he's still involved in that world. but he's struggling to break free. He's a very strong individual, and I think he's going to get over the hump. And I think his recent, what you tell us here, his Twitter outbursts, and also his appearance on the red carpet with his wife, I think that was like a middle finger to the recording association, RIAA, I think it's called, the Grammys, so-called. I think it's a middle finger. I think he's about ready to pull the plug on them, because I think he's got enough money to he can say aloha politely.
Is the Bilderberg group as powerful as we are told?
Probably not. Again, there's a lot of so-called pop-up pundits, experts that just keep repeating whatever shows up on Google Trends, and Bilderberg is one name that keeps coming up. I want to encourage all viewers and all young research and old researchers to start going out on your own. You've read all the material. A lot of it's 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. We know all the stories. Start doing your own independent research. Start where you are, your world, so that you can increase the knowledge base and take this all further instead of just repeating the same tropes. That's what the artists do. The great artists always are pushing it forward.
Follow-up question from Angelique. What's the goal of music mind control?
Political, economic slavery. And toward that end, I would be remiss in my duties if I did not give my proper respects to the woman who wrote Transformation of America. Right? I forgot her. Her name slips my memory here. One of you in the chat room here can supply it. Transformation of America. And she specifically talks about how she was put on the circuit in country music. This is in the 60s and 70s. She's got a number of interviews and talks on YouTube. Kathy O'Brien, that's her name, came back to me. And her husband, Mark, have been for the last couple of decades. And she's recovered. She's done these books, talk about how she managed to pull herself out of the most ugly circumstances that you can imagine. This is Kathy O'Brien I'm talking about. But she talks about how she was pimped out by her father, put on a circuit, the country music circuit, including high-level elective officials. I'll let people read the book so they can get the names. And her account, to me, is credible. There's so much detail in there. It's so rich with information that would be difficult to fabricate. I think it's a credible source. Kathy O'Brien, Transformation of America. She specifically talks about country music, right? It's not a bunch of country bro brothers singing about John Deere Green and about Home on the Range. Right, we had this whole urban cowboy phenomenon that was brought in by John Travolta after Saturday Night Fever, brought in all the disco culture. Then he went to the urban cowboy. It trivializes all these different underground movements. That's the function of Hollywood, is to take something that's organically growing and then putting out for mass consumption where it can be controlled from it, right? And politically, economically used to expand their own power, right? They can shuttle money to all their friends in Washington, D.C.
African prayers.
Yeah.
What do you think about Kanye supporting Diddy and saying Trump should pardon him?
I'm going to leave that up to Donald Trump. I don't think it's going to be politically possible for him to do it at this point, right? You're just doing a Biden. If President Trump does this, he's going to be, his reputation is going to suffer, to put it lightly. I think he is just having fun with us, to tell you the truth. You know, he likes
provoking he's provoking outrage, isn't he? All right, so we've got
on the public. Yeah.
We've got Professor Hamamoto's link in the live chat. We've got Professor Hamamoto's link in the description box. Please support his channel. We've run out of time, folks. An hour's gone so fast. We'll have to see if the professor will come back on soon. Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion before the Jaguarite pre-record about the Grammys starts?
Yes, Bebopalula was recorded in Nashville in the Bradley Studios. So that's rock, rockabilly, country music, black music. It all comes together, ladies and gentlemen. It's like the mighty Mississippi. It's like the Cumberland River. It all the tributaries come together.
Are you going to spit some bars before you go?
Some bars and stars. I'm a geeza who hangs out with a skeeza. That's it. That's my time.
Oh, God. All right,
I'm choking on that one, too.
Thank you for tuning in, folks. Stay tuned. This video will transfer you over to Jaguarite's pre-record about the Grammys. She nailed it, and it's the funniest conversation we've had, Jag, so far. Everyone from Jaden Castlehead to Jay-Z and Beyonce to Kanye all come under Jag's fire. It's beginning now. This video will transfer you to it. If it doesn't, click on the channel icon. But please support Professor. And there's the link again in the live chat. Let's rack those subs up to 100K. Much love and respect wherever you are in the world. Take care.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
You eat well, you work out, but did you know 99% of Americans are still mineral deficient? That's where Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder comes in. It's your daily foundation for better mood, natural energy, immune support, and nervous system balance. Formulated from nature and backed by science, it's a simple habit that makes a big impact. Because your body doesn't make minerals, and today's food and water don't supply enough, with Concentrace, you'll feel the difference. Go to TraceMinerals.com and start with minerals. Start with Concentrace.